Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, back to Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, good morning, Georgia. Sam and I are sorry, that's right. I gotta remember for that pause there. I'll do it again. Take two. Ready? Last looks?
All right.
Okay. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Thank you. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from Eric Johnson from the Atlanta Business Chronicle. Eric Jackson from the Atlanta Business Chronicle. He's going to join us coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to talk the business of sports later on in the hour. A casting call for you, and we are going to get into what happened last night at the Staples Center between Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. It ended in a draw. Nothing really crazy, but these guys talking about doing it again. Sam, all I could think about last night was, and may he rest in peace, Dennis Farina. You know, Dennis Farina, because the line he said in the movie Get Shorty, when he walked into the barbershop and he was about to start going at John Travolta, he looked at the two guys that were in there playing checkers, and he goes, "Hey, you two geezers, take your game to the park." That's pretty much what I thought of, and it kept running through my head all night long with these two, 54 and 51 years old, respectively. Going into it, Roy Jones Jr. looked like he had a couple chicken sandwiches for Popeyes beforehand, because the way we're normally accustomed to looking at, you know, boxers at the weigh-in, but Roy was like, "Hey, check's already been cashed, I'm good." But we'll talk more about that. Yeah, coming up later on the hour. But we got to bring Ken in here real quick, because I know we're going to get into the local stuff, but we promised we were going to bring Ken in and ask him the question that we talked about throughout the show yesterday. And it all stems from me driving, you know, over these holidays, going to see Pops up and down, back and forth, Florida and all that. And it got me thinking about the first car I had where I got to play music other than the radio. When you stepped up your sound system in your car, and what was that? You know, and if you want to date yourself, you can say it was an 8-track player. Sam talked about having that car with that 8-track player in there. I actually talked about having one, but went and bought a portable one and put it in. Then, of course, you ascended to cassettes and you know, CDs and all that stuff. So what was yours, Ken? What was the car, and what was that sound system that you had, the first one that you were proud of, and what did it play?
The car was like a 95 Ford Escort, I think.
Ford Escort.
Yeah.
Very good. Very nice.
I put a CD player in it. I took out the cassette tape, put the CD player in it, and really nice. Had rims on it. It was all right.
His voice went up there for a little bit. Yeah, he did.
Memories in that car.
He's in that transition because, see, I would have left a cassette because I had made probably a bunch of tapes that were on cassette, and I didn't want to give those up.
Well, it's like, this is about 96. I mean, CDs.
Okay,
CDs,
well, then,
CDs,
yeah, you had to go. Yeah, you had to do with that.
My first car, which I hated, I only had for a little while, was like a old white Chevy Blazer that used to be a Napa auto parts truck, you know, with the little hat on it and everything. And and you can still see where they took the hat off, because it was like rusted on top, and you can still see where they took the stickers off where it said Napa Auto Parts on the side. And it had a cassette tape that barely worked, and you put the key in, but you couldn't turn the car over. They had jerry-rigged this push button, so I had to push to start back, you know, before it became popular. But it wasn't like as nice as like my push to start now. It was really, really ganky. So I hated that. Hated that truck.
You know,
passion.
Sam, he said something that reminded me of probably when I was in high school, and I don't know if this was the case down in the South, but up north, this was a thing. You talked about an old Napa thing. One of the cars that a lot of people went for when communities got rid of them were old cop cars.
I wish I had an old cop car. That would be nice.
But here's the thing. In the city of Chicago, no. You didn't want one of them. But in the suburbs, like you said, it was cool. Everybody was going for those Crown Victorias. And if they still had sort of the outline of the of whatever neighborhood the car came from, or if it was the city of Chicago, that was kind of cool. I wanted one of those until I heard about, no, if you're driving one of those and you're in certain parts of the actual city, you get shot at. So that was like a thing.
Well, I think about the movie The Blues Brothers.
Exactly.
That was their car. It was a cop car.
But he left the colors of the cop car on there. Some of them, like, they'll peel them down or something like that. Anyway, it got me thinking about that. But, Ken, we wanted to bring you in on a conversation because I want to speak for everybody, but most men will remember that not necessarily their first car. You always remember your first car, but that first car that you got to make it your own. You had the money to put in what you wanted in that car, and, man, that was your ride. And you will always remember that.
I remember that Ford Escort because, I came home one night, under the weather, I would say, and we lived like right in front of a lake, like a little pond, and I used to park at the edge of the driveway. Well, my Ford Escort's, not automatic, it was manual.
Oops.
Yep. Right. Oops. In the lake. Oops. At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh,
but guess what? It ran for like 3 more years after that.
Yeah, but it's a call you got to make in the morning for the tow truck to come pull it out.
Oh no! Dad came out. We got the truck out. We pulled her out right then.
Okay, all right.
Ingenuity. It smelled like lake for 3 years, but it's okay.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 Game, 92.9 The Game. Top of the 7 o'clock hour is when we usually hand things over to Miss Crenshaw. Lets us know what's going on in the world of high school and college athletics locally.
Yeah, and we're going to start because we had Dave Cohen on as our guest yesterday.
Yep.
Before Georgia State took on Georgia Southern. Incredible game yesterday. Too bad we had to limit the number of people that came out to Center Park Stadium, Pete's Place, to see Georgia State and Georgia Southern. State, not Southern, as Georgia State gets the win in dramatic fashion, 30-24 final score. So 5-4, the Panthers are with a winning record. That's the final game on the schedule. Remember, Georgia State's schedule got really tossed around when the season began. They were supposed to play games at Alabama. They had the game up in Charlotte that they were told to get off the bus, to not go up and play because of COVID concerns. And so now there's an offering out there. We hear that they may schedule another game, but as of now, that's the full schedule for them. That's all they had was 9 games on the schedule. So the Panthers are at 5-4 with a win over the folks from downstate who had some issues. They had like 4 players get arrested last week. They had another player opt out the day of the game. One of their top players just say, "You know what, guys, I'm out of here." So I mean, how do you feel if you're the other guys on the team to go out there and play, and you got a guy checking out on you, plus the other guys who got in trouble earlier in the week? So Georgia State with that win, big win, and congrats to everybody and Coach Elliott. We'll see if they get one more game. We'll let you know if they're able to get another game on the schedule. Now, for high school, we had some winners yesterday. We had some other teams that had to let some games go over because of, COVID concerns. Banks County could not play. It was a forfeit. So Callaway gets the win. Same is true with Arabia Mountain. So Cedartown gets the win. Eastside over Southwest DeKalb, 3-0. And they move on to the next round. Just some of the scores from yesterday, from last night. North Oconee, 4-1, 35 over Fayette County. Let me run you down some of the games to watch for next week. These are the teams that have moved and in advance. Roswell and Norcross should be a fantastic game. The Fighting John Chuckeries are taking on Norcross next week. Harrison is at Grayson. Archer against Milton. Lowndes is coming all the way up to North Cobb. That's going to be a good one. Decatur at Blessed Trinity. Cartersville at St. Pius. Woodward Academy, Warner Robins, Coffee at Stars Mill. That's down in Fayette County. Sprayberry was a winner. As a reward, they get to play Carrollton. I don't know if that's a reward or not. Decula at Allatoona is going to be a good game. Richmond Hill is coming to Westlake next week. Marist is going to play Flowery Branch. That should be a really good ball game next week. Hapeville Charter against Jefferson. Cedar Grove is going to get to play at Rockmont. Remember, Cedar Grove is a 3-seed. They were the top team in the state, had a player playing that wasn't supposed to play, I guess some ineligible players in early games, so he took those games away from them. So they're having to play on the road, so they're having to go up to Rockmart. Carver of Atlanta with a big win. They beat Hart County. They're going to get to play Cherokee Bluff. That's the school that's just in the second or third year up there. And you know what they have at Cherokee Bluff? Their colors are purple. They have purple tennis courts.
What?
Ever seen purple tennis courts?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Actually, I did see that. And you know they have those down on the islands. If you ever take a trip down there, because they always make things colorful down there. So I've seen tennis courts like one box was orange, one box was green, So they decorate it different colors, but that's like in Bahamas or something like that. I think it was I saw it in Freeport of all places.
Well, this is in Hall County.
Not the same.
You got the
Hey Sam.
No, it's not.
Another good game on the south side next week. I think it's Parkview at East Coweta.
Yes. That should be a great game. East Coweta was a winner this week, and Parkview had to go to overtime to take down Camden County. So that's another good one that's going to take place. East Coweta having a good – they beat Noonan to finish the regular season. They get the region championship. So it's great to see them get the win. And a shout-out to Coach John Small. Known him a long time going back to my Augusta years. And he was a coach for many years out at South Gwinnett, so he's down at East Coweta.
All right. Ken, you brought up
to watch out for next week.
No, that's cool. Ken brought up that one game, and I figure you cover everything. Ken, for you to retain that information, you must have some kind of connection to that. Is there one, or you just follow him like Mr. Crenshaw?
Oh, I used to live. I used to live over there in East Coweta.
Sharpsburg.
Yeah, Sharpsburg.
I got you.
My kids are in the school district. They're going to go to East Coweta, so I have an interest in. And, they're now the Fighting Mike Bells because Mike Bells lives down there in Tyrone, and he goes to East Coweta games now, too.
Yeah, I heard he's down there now. It's funny to hear him talk about running into his neighbors.
Yeah.
he's been an in-town dude for so long, man.
I know what that's like. I know what that's like.
Yeah,
man.
That's funny stuff to hear him talk about that. But he's going to love it down there. He's going to love it down there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you get out, I lived in the city for my entire time that I lived here until when I moved, and I ended up in Ackworth, of all places. But, yeah, it takes a minute. It takes a minute. But I've never not been a good neighbor. That was one of the things that growing up that – I mean, I'm still, Sam, friends with the people that lived on my block when I was a kid. Not all of them, but a handful of them.
Well, because you got to know them.
Exactly.
You got to know them, and they got to know you.
Yeah,
it's a little different these days. A little different these days, but
I can't remember last time I saw a block party. You know what I mean? I can't remember last time I saw a block party. Anyway, coming up the 7 o'clock hour later on, we're going to talk again casting call and talk about the fight. 8 o'clock hour, it's all NFL. We got two guests today. Two guests we're going to try and give you in the 8 o'clock hour. Tyrone Poole and our own D-Led getting ready for the Raiders-Falcons today. But up next, Eric Jackson from the Atlanta Business Chronicle is going to join us talking about the business of sports. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You can check us out on the radio.com app.
This is Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you this morning. We're available through the radio.com app for all of your smart devices or any of your new devices you might be getting for the holiday season as people are ordering those type things online. If you're not going to the mall and whatnot, sure this. So when you get those things, make sure and go to the radio.com app and you can keep us wherever you are. You're not getting out of the house if you're, sheltering in place or if you've been out and you're going back in for a few months until the vaccine shows up. Hey, keep
it coming.
Us here at Sports Radio 92.
They say it's coming.
It's coming. They say it's coming.
I saw a big old picture of a United flight coming, apparently left Brussels, and it was landed in Chicago. We need to get one of those with Delta on it and get that thing landed in Atlanta.
How about that? Chicago's
United's hub. We don't ain't doing us no good up there. get that down here. But actually, the people who are going to get it first is as far as I'm concerned, are the ones who should get it. And it's the frontline workers, the people in the hospital. So get it to them. I don't care how, but get them vaccinated, and then let's all just stand in line nice and orderly. And I'm sure that'll work out nicely.
Good luck with that.
I'm calling Mike Tyson to get him here in front of me here, man. Anyway, go ahead. We got a guest waiting for us here. With enough of this nonsense.
We have a guest with a lot that's happening. It's big business. Sports is big business to our area, and obviously the pandemic has impacted that. What's going to happen going forward? A guy who's joining us now on the waitforit.com hotline can tell us about that. Eric Jackson covers sports for the Atlanta Business Chronicle. Eric, good morning to you.
Morning, Eric.
Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Good morning, guys. How are you, gentlemen?
We are doing fine. How have you and your family been over these last months during this craziness? Hopefully it's good news.
Oh, yeah, man. We've been good, man. I can't complain for sure. It was a good holidays, right? It's not just take a breath for a second, right? But hop back on it now, right? Back on the grind.
Back on the grind, okay. You've been following things even when we didn't have a lot of sports going on. Eric, talk about things here in Atlanta. And obviously the pandemic has turned a lot of things upside down. People not able to go and attend sporting events like we usually would. And we have some big showcase events that we missed. We missed out on March Madness in the Final Four. We still got the SEC Championship game and the Peach Bowl. Talk about those events a little bit.
Right, right. Well, like you said, I mean, it's upside down. You know, we're in the final month, right, heading in, and what a year it's been, right? I mean, we've watched the sports landscape completely just flip on its head, right? Now we're in this interesting phase where the industry trying to adjust, right, to this new normal, quote unquote. So, because we're going to be in this for some time, right? I mean, granted, we'll see with the vaccine, but you know, we're still in this, right? So. Everybody now is just trying to adjust, and you know, you redo your budgets, right, and you try to move forward as best you can. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned it earlier. You know, the Chick-fil-A kickoff games. You know, we watched the Final Four dissolve, right? Essentially, right there, and it's been just interesting to see the calendar the way it's flipped, and you know, even the last conventions for Atlanta right now. You know, the last two of the year. You know, not just sports, but all conventions is. You know, we have the SEC Championship coming up and then the Peach Bowl. So, you know, that really tops it off. So, you know, and even those events are going to be pretty scaled down. So it's not going to be the packed, bins we're used to for, you know, the SEC Championship and, you know, other events.
Eric Jackson joining Sam McGregor here at Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You guys have chronicled the losses from the various sporting events and the facilities that have happened. But let me ask you this. How far do you dive into the stuff on the periphery, the jobs that were affected by not having the Final Four, the concessions, the like I said, the people working around those facilities? How much have you followed that, and how do they – you know, as far as moving forward, you talked about the SEC Championship coming, Peach Bowl, and other events. How do we do better with the upcoming events as opposed to the way we were sort of walking blindly through the forest when this pandemic hit back in March?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that's one of the parts that a lot of people don't realize, right? It's like how many people are truly affected, right, you know, by this. You know, Delaware North, you know, they had to follow over 1,000 people, you know, that's what their their concessionaire, right, for the Braves. So people don't realize what goes on. You know, even the stadium workers and everyone's so deeply affected by all this. But you're right, absolutely. Now, moving forward, though, you have to adjust, right? So you start to bring back some teams. You know, we've seen different ushers and security members coming back, but now it's about safety, right? I mean, fans coming in now just want to have that feeling of security. You know, it's something we never thought about before, right? Going to sporting events, right? It's like, did you ever really think about your security and you know, your safety, right? But now it's at the top of the list of priorities for fans coming in. So it's interesting how that, you know, jumps all the way up in, you know, post-COVID world.
You talk about the Braves, and people are hoping that they're able to go back to play. They already mentioned they got single game tickets on for sale. They're also supposed to host the All-Star game next year. Any thoughts on that? Or would you be able to find out, are those plans still going forward, and how might that roll out?
Right. So, you know, this is going to be one like unlike any other, right? So, you know, we just watched the NBA All-Star game in Indianapolis. You know, they canceled that last week, right? So, you know, that's usually that's for February, right? So, you know, this one, you know, the All-Star game's in the summer. So, you know, it's not too far off. It makes you raise your eyebrows a little bit, right? Like, we're getting closer to home, right? But as of now, they're moving forward. You know, there was an All-Star game in L.A. this year, you know, for baseball. So, you know, usually the hosting team next year usually uses that as an opportunity to really, you know, get their notes taken, right? And, you know, kind of get prepared. So that the Braves not having that opportunity definitely hurts them a little bit. But, you know, I know they've been talking to Cleveland, you know, other cities you know, prior that hosted the game, you know, to try to, you know, get up to pace. So, yeah, man, everybody's adjusting to it as best they can. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. Right now they're planning for a full house, but I mean, who are we kidding, right? It's like, you know, is the pandemic really going to be over by next summer? So, you know, it's one of those things where I guess you plan for a full house, but you know, you write it in pencil, not pen, right? I think that's how most of the things have been, you know, during this time. So hopefully the city can, you know, keep that major event, because as we've seen, right, they've been all knocked off the board, you know, just off the schedule. So,
Eric, forgive again, Eric Jackson, Atlanta Business Chronicle, joining Sam and Greg here. I don't know if you explained it. Like, I'm doing different things here listening to you, and I'm wondering if I heard you say one way or the other, is there going to be a makeup tournament for us losing March Madness next year? Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with the pandemic, but as people put things in place, do we make up for not having it? In other words, the next time it's held, do we get it here in Atlanta? How does that work?
Yes, absolutely. So we're already going to, you know, I know the Atlanta Sports Council is already putting the bid in to, you know, get that next opportunity when that wave comes, you know. So, you know, by losing it, you know, I think NCAA is definitely going to, you know, have Atlanta in mind when that opportunity, that bid cycle opens back up, because, you know, Atlanta just lost it the way they did. You know, I think they're going to, you know, keep that in mind and, you know, have Atlanta at the top of mind when that opportunity comes. Because, you know, look at, you know, even most host committees do that. Like, you look at Indianapolis right now, they lost the NBA All-Star game, right? But they're going to get it back. And, you know, the next opportunity they can, was at 24. So, you know, people usually look out, right? They're not going to leave them in the dust there. So, you know, for Atlanta, I think that would be 29 would be the next opportunity. So,
it's a little ways off. It's a little ways off.
It's a little ways off, but, you know, it'll be here sooner than we think, right? I mean, you know, we like to think it's like, oh, this is so far off, but it'll come back, you know. And then we have the Elite Eight, you know, here. So there's still a timeline of events coming back to the city, but Final Four definitely hurts, right? That was a gut punch, right? Because, you know, we hadn't had one in so long. And hopefully even this MLB All-Star game, you know, that hopefully can stay intact, because just losing these events, it's bad for everybody, you know, not just the people at the top, but even the Uber drivers and, you know, the people who are, you know, benefit off just the ancillary events and everything, you know, it hurts.
It does in that city, because we think about the restaurants, we think about the hotels, and that's kind of when those places do a brisk business. We're spending some time with Eric Jackson, the Atlanta Business Chronicle. I guess one more thing about betting in Georgia. And I know that NASCAR has two stops coming next year. We've been just getting one, we're going to get two races. And then Adam Alexander joined us and said, well, one of the reasons is they're considering trying to get a casino. They got like a proposed $1 billion casino built on the property of the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Thoughts about that, because people are going to be discussing that when we get to the first of the year. And that prospect of having gambling. You know, something we've always tried to stay away from it with sports, but it's here.
Not
and
no
everybody
more.
Else is doing it. You know what I mean? So what are the chances of it happening here?
Right. You know, I was even watching the fight last night with Tyson, and, you know, there was a whole segment with DraftKings, and it was a pretty long, and, you know, it's like sports betting is no longer behind the shadows, right? It's no longer in the dark, you know? So it's one of those things that's coming to the forefront. And, you know, as we know, Georgia's still illegal, right? While other states have, you know, approved it. So the interesting thing in Georgia is it's mobile betting versus casino betting, you know, casinos and horse racing and parimutuel. So the thing with the casinos is it's going to be a tougher road to get that done. That's just the truth about it. You know, they've been trying to push for that in Georgia for years, right? It's always kind of fallen short. Where there might be more success, though, is the online, the mobile betting, just because there's less overhead and there's potentially, you know, you don't have to actually have the brick and mortar sports books, you know, actually building. So, you know, that's what we're seeing with DraftKings and these other, you know, operators. So we could see that, you know, before it was different, the pandemic, when, you know, the state was healthy and, you know, financially stable. But, you know, now it's, the state needs new revenue streams, right? So it's going to be interesting when the legislative session comes back in January and everybody's looking around, you know, looking for coins under the couch, right, so to speak. So, you know, now you have to, like, you have to look for all your options, and, you know, we'll see if that this is the tipping point, you know, because there's more pressure than ever to now get something passed. You know, with Tennessee doing so well with their mobile sports betting, you know, they just started enacting that. So, you know, people are going in neighboring states here in Georgia, you know, to place bets. So we shall see, right? Like, Georgia's always been a conservative state, so you never know. But it's going to be interesting when the session circles back around.
Eric Jackson, Atlanta Business Chronicle, we can't thank you enough for getting up this morning and coming and bringing the knowledge. And hopefully you've had a wonderful holiday weekend. But again, just getting us thinking about some of the things business-wise in the sports world that's going on here. So we appreciate you getting up and joining us this morning, man.
Oh, thank you, guys, man. It's always a pleasure. Let's finish this out strong, right, this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, Eric Jackson.
Let's do it.
Atlanta Business Chronicle. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about, Sam, is we, again, coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to tell you about some jobs with Casting Call. But I would like to know the breakdown of how it happens when a determination is made that event X is going to be canceled. In other words, where does it start? Do some medical officials call up the Atlanta Sports Council and say, look, the pandemic's too crazy, you're going to have to cancel the Final Four. And then, you know, Gary Stokin and his boys get on the phone and they call. You know, I just like that process, how it plays out. I'd like to hear how that goes step by step. And whether it's a medical emergency that caused a cancellation of weather or something else. That breakdown is always kind of interesting to look behind the curtain. See what the Wizards doing. A chance at some jobs up next, if you feel so inclined. Casting Call. And we're going to talk about some other sports. Those two geezers got it done last night in Staples. We're going to talk about that next. Sam and Craig, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
The heart of the entertainment world.
Bring you a slice of life from that crazy world they call Hollywood.
Everything Hollywood, live from Hollywood South. This is The Casting Call with Greg Clarkson.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Mr. Crenshaw, good morning.
Morning.
And everybody else, good morning, Georgia. Hey, morning. Throughout the day today, I want you to take a second and think about these people. Ralph Bellamy. In other words, Randolph from Trading Places.
Right.
Cary Grant, Natalie Wood.
Ooh. Wow.
Lost all those people on this day. All those famous folks in show business. And one of the names, you may not realize who he is and what contribution he has to your life, but everybody that I know of does an impression of this guy. His name is Bill Scott. You don't do an impression of Bill Scott, but he was the voice of Bullwinkle.
Oh.
And everybody does a Bullwinkle. And he was also Mr. Peabody. So those people passed on this. Yes, he was. He was Peabody. So those people passed on this day, November 29th, and wanted to take a second to acknowledge it.
What did he say? Every dog should have a boy. I have Sherman.
I didn't remember that.
Peabody said something like that.
You guys go to our website. Now let me talk about a couple things. I got some folks reaching out to me now. People are starting to pay attention that we're doing Casting Call again. And it's different than it was before the pandemic hit. And, I mean, across the board, there's not as many jobs for extras. There's not as many jobs on set. A 100-man crew that used to be in place, a 100-person crew, I should say, is now down to 50. They aren't using as many actors. They're doing it with as little amount of people as possible, obviously to cut down on the possibility of transmitting the virus. So, with that being said, that coupled with the fact that we got a brand new website, Intercom is putting together across the board with all their locations, and it's a work in progress. Well, Casting Call, while it's important to some of you out there and those of you looking for jobs in the industry, in the bigger picture, it's not right up there at the top. Okay, and I understand that. Plus, the industry kind of came back, you know, limping its way back into work. Well, I am in the process of getting a actual page like we had before for a Casting Call, which will then be connected to Twitter so you can look at, you know, the jobs and everything that I put on there the way you used to. But as of right now, it's still, you have to go to our website, and you just got to scroll down that main page, and you keep hitting load more, and you're going to see the film crew, and you're going to see the link to the jobs. And I put one up for the holidays. I usually don't put any up, haven't in past years, but this one, they have been working over these few weeks and have got some things that are pretty much starting this upcoming week and then the following week and into December. But Destination Casting, got a couple projects there looking for those of you to be party goers and neighbors. You got Extras Casting Atlanta looking for folks that are wrestling fans and those of you out there, men and women, who have wrestled. So if you got a video of that, that would be great. Send that in to them. You'll see that information and where to send it. Casting All Talent. This is the one where they do for legacies. The CW show, it's back. This is an ongoing need. I'm sorry, you going to say something?
No, I'm saying great.
Yeah, the ongoing need. They need those of you out there. In fact, there's a couple jobs where they need those of you who are over 18 who still look like high school students. They want you. So legacies, obviously, they need you for that. Roselock Casting, I'll just come out and flatly say it. This is a Marvel project. This is a Marvel project. And a lot of you know what it is, but it's called the November Project. You will see under Roselock Casting. She's using the working title. I'm going to use the working title. So it's the November Project. But again, most of you already know what this is. They need everything from pedestrians to those of you who would like to be homeless, portray homeless citizens. You'd like to be a college professor or a scholar. There's a need for that. And again, 18 to 21 years old, but still look like high school students. Roselock is looking for you. The jobs behind the camera, I get you started at Georgia.org and walk you through where to find those. They're posted almost daily. Different jobs, different needs on productions that, you know, people have decided they're going to move on to different jobs. Or when they wanted to get back to their crew, their job was eliminated. Well, there's a lot of you out there who've had issues with your job. And if you're looking to change, this might be it. So again, you'll see all these jobs behind the camera, front of the camera. If you would like to get into voiceover work, I got Bill Seller and all his information up there. You'll get testimonials from people who've actually worked with him. Our own Willie P here at the station. I turned on to Bill Seller to get started in voiceover work. And of course, I also have the information about how to submit yourself. So all of that is up on our website. You go to 929thegame.com. Start scrolling down. And when you see the film crew, you know that you've landed in the right spot.
Two things to pass on. Two things to pass on. Mark your calendar for December 11th. December 11th, that is when Safety, the story of our friend Ray McElrathbay, comes out on his streaming on Disney. And so it's going to be available on the stream. Was filmed here in Atlanta, and a great story. And he's a friend of the show. Has been on. Maybe we get him on again before it debuts. But it debuts on December 11th. And someone else who's also dabbled in the film industry from time to time on radio, and our old friend, happy birthday today to Ryan Cameron. Celebrating a birthday today.
You listen, I'm going to tell you something. I was about to get into that. The people that are celebrating a birthday on this day is worthy of a mention here, and I'm going to. And they're one with a heavy heart. But, yeah, shout out to Ryan Cameron. You know who turns 83 years old today? The only voice you ever need in the world of baseball. Vin Scully. It's Vin Scully's birthday. Remember Hojo from the 86 Mets? His birthday is today. But these two are Pedro Martinez and Mariano Rivera celebrating a birthday today.
Wow.
Russell Wilson celebrating a birthday today. Howie Mandel and Don Cheadle. Celebrating a birthday today. I'm telling you. And there's one more.
One more.
Yeah, there's one more. And you'll obviously know why I slowed down, and let's just take a second. Today would have been Chadwick Boseman's birthday.
Wow.
Yep. Man. That would have been 40. What was it, 44?
Oof.
Yeah. So anyway, so as you have this past week and maybe before the end of the week, maybe do it a few more times, when you give thanks, think about some of these people we mentioned here that are no longer with us, and just all the blessings that you have, and just like I said, just take a second.
Yeah.
Just take a second and understand, because it could be gone like that. You know what we didn't ask Ken earlier, though? Well, we got a second here. Ken, got a second?
Yes, sir.
I know you're doing 18 different things. Sam brought this up yesterday, and I'm actually putting this on you because this was your idea. Now, Mr. Crenshaw has been in and out of media booths on the various sports stadiums around this city and around this country for years. And he asked me yesterday, because I haven't been in as many as he has. I never covered a team like he did for a television network. I just dip in and dip out and do what I did for radio. But he asked me if I could remember the best media meal I've ever had. Now, I don't know how many times you've been up in a press box and covered sports, but one of the things that people who are regularly up there talk about the food that they get or lack thereof. But that's one thing. But now with the pandemic, everything has changed completely. And you were talking about this, Sam, that the experience, you know, for meals in press boxes are completely different, which harkens back to that best meal you ever had.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I've experienced a few. But I was going to ask Ken if he had.
Well, that's what I was. What was yours, though? And then we can bring Ken in.
My favorite, I was working and living in North Carolina, and shout out to people at a lot of different places. You go and get, you know, high schools, press boxes, everywhere you have great meals. I was working in North Carolina, and I was covering a story down in Charlotte during the day, and at night I was going to go and cover the Hornets, the old Hornets, the original Hornets, which are now the Pelicans. And they had the Lakers coming to town, and just like us, Lakers come to town once a year. They served duck for the pregame meal. Now, I had something to eat that day, but I wasn't gonna pass. I was not gonna pass up some duck, man. A duck for a pregame meal. That tops. And I've had some great ones. If you go down to the Outback Bowl, of course, you're gonna get a steak. Onion before the game, they're going to bring to you and whatnot. You know, so I've been to a lot of places where they bring you some good, great stuff before games. And I would love to go through our whole staff and find out who's had some great meals. I know some guys. I know Mike Bell has had some pretty good ones. And I'm pretty sure, John Fricke's had some pretty good ones down through the years, too.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Ken, what would you say is the best media meal you had?
I had such limited experience with a media meal. The only experience I really have is at the first year at Georgia State Stadium. And it started out really good. I think the first media meal there for like the first game or like the Corky Kell was like, I don't know. It was really good. But then as the year went on, it kept getting lighter and lighter. And then like by the last couple games, it was just nothing.
Just nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't cover a game like you did and go back and write a story about it. I mean, I got access to them. So I didn't really stay up in the media, the press box that much. I have done it. But I was thinking about this when you asked me this, and the only one that sticks to mind was my first time up there. It was at Fulton County Stadium, and the first time I went into a press box, and I was actually, I just moved to Georgia. I didn't know anything. I mean, I had heard of Skip Carey and Pete and watched the Braves, but I went up there, and it was the first time I had ever seen a box. And they had, like, you know, they had the usual. They had hot dogs, and they had some cold French fries and I think some burgers off the side. And it had been pretty much picked over by the time I got there. It was, I think, about the fifth inning or so. And I had never seen moon pies before. And I saw a box of moon pies, and right next to it was a bunch of Cokes.
See, that's how that first meal was. It was like burgers and hot dogs and moon pies and Cokes at Georgia State. And then it started getting like sandwiches and like chips and like just – and then like there was like cookies one day. It kept getting worse.
But it was at that point I knew I was in the South, Sam, because I had never seen no moon pie up north. I never. And then I'm not kidding you when I tell you the next week I heard for the first time our boy Louis Grizzard, his bit on
moon pie and an RC
and a moon pie. And I had never heard that bit before. So, yeah, that's my experiences with that. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, it's all about the NFL, and we're going to have a couple guests. Are we going to have a couple guests, Mr. Crenshaw?
We're going to have a couple of guests. We got a couple of guests who said they'll come on. We're going to work them in here. We'll work them in here at some point during the hour.
We're going to come back with a guy who's got – well, maybe he can give us an idea of what really is going on up there in New England. We talked to him. He's been a friend of the show, Tyrone Poole. We're going to go around the NFL. And, of course, if we get ready for a Falcons-Raiders game, what better voice to hear from than D. Orlando Ledbetter? He's supposed to join us up in the 8 o'clock hour, too. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.